Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
SansPants Radio, Australia's most procedurally generated podcast network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Jonathan Valenzuela.
And John, we've got a special guest on this special Indie Games podcast today.
So special.
You may have heard his compatriots. Look, we've had the C rank and the B rank. Now yeah. It's time to jump straight to the S rank.
It's S rank thumb cramps boy himself, Joel Duschel.
Hey.
Yeah, we got the big, the douche man's here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
I'd call him OJ the douche man the other night. I reckon there'd be like three people in the world that would understand that reference. But luckily you've listened to enough Gucci Mane mixtapes to have that.
So all three of them are in this room recording a podcast together. That's handy. Is it odd being the only Joel on a game podcast?
Yeah, it feels wrong at the moment, but I think I'll settle in. John is probably close enough to Joel that I'll adjust accordingly.
Yeah, you'll start calling yourself John.
Yeah, and I'm also John.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, we are on a network called SansPants Radio, and Joel is one of the founders.
Yes.
And also has several shows on the network, namely Plumbing the Death Star and I guess our sister games podcast, Thumb Cramps. We did a crossover episode with Joel and Jackson. Other Joel Zammit.
Yeah, Joel Zammit.
And Jackson Bailey. I always think Carson Daly for some reason.
Yeah. I wish Carson Daly was on the network. That would probably get our numbers up.
Yeah, that'd be good. So now we had to complete. They were like, oh cool, all three of us can do it. It's like, no, just Dusha.
Yeah. Gotta even it out. Like you'd like finish the main game, but you want it to 100% this. You need me in as like your final.
Your DLC.
Yeah, I'm DLC.
Yeah.
You're the most adjacent to us in term out of the three of you guys that I think you have the most similar in taste.
Yeah.
Games.
Which is funny because when we get to what I've been playing recently, it's going to seem wildly different. But yes.
Yeah, Joel was like, so I've been playing Celeste and Thumper, and I'm like, you talked about those on Thumb Cramps already.
Yeah. And I was like, the other indie game I've been playing, which I've been playing for Thumb Cramps, but not to talk about Thumb Cramps. We're doing like a Twitch stream.
We can get to this. All right, you're going to get roasted for it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I absolutely.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's just like a little bit of a taste, but I've been playing heaps of Minecraft.
So we'll save that for the end of the episode. John and I have been playing some Red Hot games. John's been smashing tons of games.
Yeah, lately. I've been racking up a ton of titles. Because I'm off on holidays soon, so I wanted to like push through as many things as I possibly could.
Is this a holiday where you're going to try and not play video games?
No, there'll definitely be moments where I'll be playing video games.
Where are you
games.
Going? Europe?
Europe. Italy and Scotland.
Ooh.
Where it's going to be piss cold for most of the time, so a lot of indoorsy time. But
Italy will still be nice this time of
year. Yeah, still be all right.
So but, Scotland is always piss cold.
Yeah.
You've been to Scotland, right?
Yeah, Scotland's kind of built for it to just always be shit weather there. So, like, you'll have a good time regardless. Yeah.
Great graphics. Gameplay, not so much. But yeah, so there's just above it. Like, the funny thing is the games I've been playing over the last week are games that I can't play while I'm on holidays.
Oh, yep, sure.
So, one on PC and one on my Xbox.
What have you been playing?
On my Xbox, I've been playing, the one I'm going to talk about today is After Party.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And on my PC, I've been playing Disco Elysium, which
I heard that described by a lot of people as like maybe the best, certainly the best RPG of the year and possibly the best game of the year.
I'm desperate to talk about it, but at the same time, I've just scratched the surface of it. Like, well, I don't feel like I've played enough.
When didn't After Party come out yesterday when we're recording?
2 days ago, 29th.
How much of it have you played?
I've like, based on story, I'm like a good maybe a third of the way in.
Okay, sweet. Well, let's start the show with maybe a little bit of Disco Elysium and a little bit of After Party.
Sure.
Courtesy of one, John Valenzuela.
Some early thoughts on Disco Elysium. Like, the game starts with your character blacked out having a conversation with his amygdala and his limbic system, which is like the amygdala is the little reptile part at the base of your brain, and your limbic system is the part that's responsible for like memory and all these other things. Having a conversation.
How are they represented?
Just it's like text on the side of the screen, okay, sure. Black screen with text on the side, but
Gilbert Gottfried
voice acting is awesome, like really great voice acting. But having a conversation with them about whether you should wake up, because like both of them are going like, "Hey, it's pretty nice here in the void. Nothing bad's happening. But if you wake up, you're gonna have a killer hangover. So maybe just hang out here, and you can just stay there for ages, being like, yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to do that. but when you wake up, you're a detective, a police detective who has gotten so drunk that he's forgotten everything about himself, like name, where he is, all of it. And you're in a trashed hotel room, and you kind of like walk around picking up pieces of clothing and trying to figure out who you are. And as you kind of move out into the world, because it's an open world RPG, like it's not linear. You can go anywhere, you can do anything, that kind of stuff. But you talk to people, and you're trying to be like, so who am I? What am I doing here again? Where am I? And the great thing is that the characters react like, they're kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why do you not know who you like? From what I've played so far, the thing I'd champion the most is the writing is so fucking good. It's like, I want to look up who wrote on this game, because it's just hilarious. And in any given situation, you have like, it's almost like a combination between an open world RPG and a point and click adventure.
Yep.
Because it's very much based on dialogue and conversation. And you inevitably have like 4 to 5 options at any given moment where you can of what you can say,
and they lead to different consequences in story. Or?
To a certain like it can like the RPG element is all about sort of it's very brain based, so it's less about like physical strength and more about like you chose that choice, you gained some empathy, or you've got more intelligence. That
so
kind
are
of
you
thing.
Battling at any point?
It doesn't. I've not reached any combat so far. It's more like all your roles are about like, you know, like your perceptiveness. So you might have to roll to see if you notice a certain thing in an environment, or you'll roll to see if you can like intimidate someone or empathize with them. Or like, the last thing I did was have a conversation with this like 12-year-old street kid who was high off his mind and keeps referring to himself in the third person as to like whether you can understand him. And my stats for that were so low that it's like, it's not going to happen. I was like, I'm just not going to bother with that. But it's still like, oh, that's an option. There are like 3 different builds you can choose. And one of the builds is about strength. So maybe there is a kind of more of a like...
It's just a gym.
There's something a compact.
You can go to the gym and impress everyone in the gym, and they clap, and then the game ends.
Just lift things in the environment. And they're like, that's sweet. I chose like the intelligence build. There's also an empathy build, but you can also make your own build.
Yep.
I'm not hugely sure of the story so far. I know that I'm investigating a dead body that has been hanging in a tree for a week because I've been getting drunk for a week.
And it sounds like a really like cleverly written, very modernized version of a very classic, like almost like pen and paper RPG.
It draws very heavily on pen and paper RPG. It is if you play it, Levins, the first thing out of your mouth will be, oh my god, this is JV
100%. Right, right, cool.
It's totally like, because I know every once in a while I'll send you a message or you send me a message where it's like, hey, this game is a you game.
Yeah,
this is 100% a JV game. It's produced, or it's developed and self-published by a company called, I'm not sure how to, it's like ZA/UM. So I'm not sure if it's Za-um or Za-um. But it's difficult to find information about them here. I think they're from like Poland.
Sick. What does the game actually look like?
It's got a very cool, almost like painted sort of look to it.
That is not at all what I was imagining. That's wild.
What were you imagining?
It's
I think because of the very start of the description reminded me heaps of Earthbound, like having a conversation about the void. Yeah. So I think I was imagining like 8-bit or 16-bit graphics.
It's a very classic kind of isometric RPG sort of look.
Yeah.
Think Diablo, think early Fallout games 1 and 2.
Yep.
In terms of how you move around the world and control. But yeah, it all has a kind of like very, like I said, painted. It looks sort of, you know, very kind of muted colors and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It takes place in this city called Revachol, which is like a conglomeration of different nations around the world own the city. It's like the world building in it is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's one of those things where I'm like, I woke up early on Wednesday morning to play it, then played it Wednesday night, and then Thursday I was like, oh god, I've got to play After Party. Like, I need to, like, there's so many games I need to get into. But I'm so looking forward to probably this weekend, if I have a spare moment from packing and taking care of stuff, I think I'm going to backburner After Party and dive further into Disco Elysium.
Right. Yeah,
cool. It is, like, it's been getting pretty just great
shit on After
reviews.
Party before you even start talking about it. I love it.
Look, it's, my heart is torn here, but like,
I'd just like to say John's gone on record saying fuck After Party.
Yeah. Oh man, I hate this record. But yeah, developed by ZA/UM. It's an independent developer based in Estonia.
Oh.
But I think I read somewhere that they have an office in London after there was some like unrest in Estonia, and they were like, we gotta get our team out of
That's scary.
Yeah.
They hate RPGs there.
Yeah. Only Metroidvanias in Estonia.
My kind of country.
Metroidtonias. So yeah, that's Disco Elysium.
John, that was very, very good.
Yeah, hey, let's just stop the episode for a second. Great joke.
Yeah.
Very clever. A thinking man's joke.
So yeah, I'm playing it on Steam. I think it's available on PC as well, on Mac as well. I saw a Kotaku article that's like, buy this game before it gets banned in Australia.
Yeah, yeah, because there's a lot of like alcohol and drug use in it.
Yeah, huge amounts of drug use and alcohol stuff. I don't know if it's like, I think the issue is if it's drug use that enhances your abilities might be the sticking point.
Yeah, it's...
And based on the character, I think it's like, any drug you take will just fuck you up completely. So.
Yeah, so it's named drugs and also drugs as incentives. Those are the two things that the Australian rating board is just like, nah, none of that.
And you know this because you are a big fan of...
classifications.
I was going to say, the recent sequel that we were finally able to play.
Yeah.
To
Hotline Miami 2. Right.
Yeah, which is banned in Australia for a long time. There was a small window in which it wasn't, and now it's banned again.
It was like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get it during that 12
hours? I absolutely did.
So three people in the room that got the OJ the Juice Man reference and bought Hotline Miami 2.
Yeah, the moment that the collection went on sale, like I bought it at midnight because I was like, this is absolutely a mistake. There is no way that this is meant to be released. And yeah, turns out I was right.
I think you and I, Levins, we both woke up and bought it because we were like, oh, this isn't going to stick around.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
So that's Disco Elysium. The other one that...
you see that ever... do you reckon you play that on any other console besides a PC at any point? Or do you reckon
if it comes out on Switch, I'm buying it in a heartbeat.
Okay, sweet.
Like, I don't know what their plans are.
Are there limitations that might stop that, that you've seen
maybe,
so far?
Maybe size of the screen, but you can zoom in and zoom out. So
yeah,
there's
sure.
lots of kind of like... Okay. There's ways around that, I guess.
That's the inevitable. Is it coming to the Switch question covered? On to the next game.
Yeah.
Next
game, which I've apparently already cussed out without even talking about it, is After Party. Now, After Party I've been excited for a long time. It's developed by Night School Studio, and they published it as well. Night School Studio are the guys that did Oxenfree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge fan of Oxenfree. That game is great.
You're just playing as a bunch of like dumb teens, right?
You play as one teen, but it's a group of teens that go to like a deserted island to party after high school is finished or something. And spooky things happen.
Ooh.
Like, it is in the lead up to Halloween, I was like, man, do I have time to replay Oxenfree? Because it's like, it's one of those games that I'm like, at parts I was genuinely like, fuck, this is really kind of like, I've got the goosebumps. I've got that, you know, like,
which goosebumps?
The one with the ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, right. Yeah. Spooky stuff.
Yeah. Real spooky. So this was announced, I think like 2 years ago at Xbox's E3, presentation.
One of the ones where Xbox are just like, hey, here's 100 indie games we're not going to talk about at all, but here's just like random images, basically.
I think it was one of those. No, I think it got like a sentence. Short synopsis where it's like, get off the pot, here's a game where... But yeah, I've been hanging out with this for ages. And look, to be honest, shout out to Xbox because this was Game Pass day one.
So, hell yeah. Like,
I just woke up in the morning, hit download, boom, $10.99 a month.
Telstra are doing a service now
where
you can get an Xbox One S with Xbox Live and Game Pass. And you pay it's like $20-something dollars a month for it.
Yeah.
And the final price actually makes it cheaper than it would be if you bought an Xbox One S with Game Pass and Xbox Live outright.
Man, if Ori and the Blind Forest hadn't recently come out on Switch...
I know, I totally would have hit it up. You might have
fucked around and got that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm real tempted as well because I think, Thumbcramps and all the small games... Well, most of all the small games have the same thing where none of us have an Xbox. You do though, right, John?
I don't have a PlayStation for the longest time.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I got a PlayStation and a Switch.
I've just always been a Sony/Nintendo boy, so...
Yeah.
I think that's common for most people.
Yeah. Well,
I'm different. I'm unique.
Of course.
Well, I went Nintendo up until...
Wow. I used to think I was a Nintendo-only gamer, but it turns out I'm a Nintendo and Sony.
Yes, I think Xbox is a massively underserviced.
Yeah.
It's like...
Your Game Pass particularly.
Yeah.
The narrative for the longest time is that, why would you get an Xbox? There's no good games on it. Or, there's, far less exclusive games on it than the other consoles have.
So weird. Sony really, really recovered because... Xbox 360 shit all over the PS3, at least in my experiences. I have an Xbox 360.
I loved my PS3, but I know that that was the more popular console.
Yeah, and then when the PS4 launched, everyone was like, PS4's got no games. And then after a year or two...
Yeah, but a very easy counter to that was Xbox only has crappy Kinect games.
Yeah.
and honestly, no games is better than a bunch of Kinect games.
If you don't care about Halo or Gears of War...
Yeah.
Fucking Xbox.
Forza.
Oh, but there's Gran Turismo, so there's an equivalent on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
There's
no equivalent to Halo or Gears of War, the two most unique games in the world.
Cover based shooters? Who's heard of those before? Anyway, look, we're wildly off topic.
This is going to be a long episode.
Yeah. After Party, the new game by Night School Studios. So the plot is you play two characters, Milo and Lola. You kind of switch back and forth between the characters depending on situation. They are two recent university graduates who find themselves in hell.
Graduated from life.
Yeah, they literally, they died. They haven't realized they died. The opening of the game is actually a big old kind of bait and switch. Because you're at spoilers, but it's the first fucking 10 minutes of the game. You're at your...
Get over
it. You're at a graduation party for university and you're talking to people and it's really awkward and horrible. And then you get told your parents just got run over by a train. And the only thing holding their guts in is the train. So you got to get there quickly to say your goodbyes before they move the train and they die. And the characters telling you that start acting weirdly, and then the walls fall away, and it's revealed that you're already in hell, and it's just devils fucking with you. But you didn't realize it at that point, so you kind of you go and get processed, and the processing closes before they get to you. So they're just go wander around hell till tomorrow, and then come back and find out what your punishment is. So as you wander around, you discover that it is possible to leave hell if you beat Satan at a drinking game.
Real Bill and Ted shit.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you go and you go and see Satan, and Satan's like, "Look, I'll let you challenge
Melvin him.
I'll let you challenge me to this competition if you go and beat my essentially the monarchs of hell, the four kind of next step down angels who are part of his thing." So then you go and you wander around and you start to challenge them. I've just sort of challenged the first monarch of hell to a drinking game,
mm-hmm.
but. If you've played Oxenfree, it's very, very similar to Oxenfree. You walk around, you have conversations. It's got the same kind of conversation mechanic where you can, you're given options to choose. You can choose not to say anything and the options will just disappear.
Yeah, there's a time limit to the options.
Yeah, the conversation moves on kind of thing. The interesting wrinkle they've added is when you're in situations with alcohol, you can buy different cocktails that if you drink during the conversation, it adds a third conversational option. And the cocktail you choose has different effects. So, like, you can have one that gives you liquid courage, so you'll say things that are more aggressive.
Yeah.
You can get ones that make you more flirty, ones that make you tell, like, bad vaudeville jokes, like, all this different stuff. And you sort of, you choose, you look at the situation you're in, and you try to choose a drink that you think will be most useful to you. It is hilariously written. Fantastic, like, natural style of conversational writing, like Oxenfree had. Like, that was one, when I played Oxenfree, one of the things I loved the most was, this actually feels like people talking. This doesn't feel like, you know, grand video game kind of dialogue. It's very funny, but at the same time, it also is like, it's bittersweet because the two characters, Milo and Lola, they've been friends forever. But now that they're out of university, one of them's about to move across the country.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of processing, like, could this be the death of our friendship sort of thing? They're also, like, it's funny that they're in hell, but they also realize, like, you know, doing favors for people, they, like, condemn some other people to hell. And they kind of, they grapple with the concept of, like, what have we just done? We've just, like, this guy could have been innocent, but he's now going to spend the rest of eternity burning in a pit because we did something. When you get to hell, you're assigned a personal demon whose job is just to pop up every once in a while and, like, fuck with your emotions. So you'll be like on your way to do something, and then this demon will pop up and suddenly they're reminding you about, like, hey, your parents got divorced and it's pretty obvious your dad never loved you kind of thing. And it's like, oh, okay, this was funny like 2 minutes ago, now it's just heart-wrenching, what's going on? And it also, like, they've clearly done their research about, like, sort of the like various culture's notion of what hell is.
Oh, that's
and,
fun.
Like, philosophically what hell is, and like what it means to be a human being and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh. What's everyone's favorite literary hell trope? Like, for me, it's if you try to rescue someone from hell and they have to walk behind you and you can't look back at them, and if you look back at them, they disappear. Have you ever, okay, ever encountered that, like, in some literature?
Isn't that in Hercules or?
Possibly, I don't know. Yeah. I've seen it in something. They always look back, and that person always disappears.
Yeah, idiots.
Spoilers for literature.
Oh, no, books. You wrecked all of them. Yeah. Trying to think, like, what is an interesting thing about hell? And I mostly just like when things are, like, just randomly set in hell. Yeah. Like, what this game appears to be.
That's one thing I've loved as well is...
And like, Joker.
Like, and Joker.
Playing through a depiction of hell.
Yeah, I used to think my life was hell, but it turns out it was... I fucked that up.
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Because hell in this is like, it's sort of like a seedy town kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, populated by... And the thing I love is that, like, you get tortured. It's like a business day. You get tortured, yeah, from a certain time to a certain time, and then everyone knocks off and just hangs out with each other.
So that's like kind of similar to like Good Place.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like humans and demons drinking together in bars and having fun. And,
oh, that's
like,
great.
Like, growing down.
That sounds like some classic point and click adventure, like, yeah, fodder as well.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And it's definitely... In terms of what you're saying about classic depiction of hell, I like that it goes into the fact that the devil doesn't enjoy what he's doing. It's his job. Yeah. Like, when he was cast out by God, he was told, like, you run hell and you have to follow these rules. He's not, like, he's following rules that were placed on him. He's just as kind of, like, miserable. Well, not miserable, I guess, because he's the leader of hell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a kind of plot line building up of, like, hell hasn't felt inspiration for thousands of years. Like, it's gone from being like this creative torture element to everyone just gets fucking drunk now. So there's like a coup building and all this kind of stuff happening. It's really interesting. Contrary to what I said at the beginning of the episode, I am very much looking forward to diving more into this game. Maybe if I set up my laptop on the coffee table, because you can definitely play this game one-handed. It's like you just move a joystick back and forth and choose buttons.
You're going to try and play both at once?
Both at once.
Okay. That's I'm absolute madman.
With no sound.
Yeah. Subtitles the JV turned way. Off the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Screw you, I've been playing with sound on.
As a man who doesn't play with sound, when Joel Zammit came in and announced that he'd been playing a music rhythm game with different music over the top, were you like, hell yeah, that's like your next step?
I was like, yeah, that was, I was like, how the fuck does that work? If like
That was so upsetting.
Yeah, no, I could hear your heart break whilst listening to that episode.
But, like, I was like, that's too much to listen to, frankly. Listen to less. No, look, I'm reformed. I definitely... It's only really my... Oh, fuck. I was going to be like, it's only really my Switch, but it's also iOS games. I don't play without sound. But yeah. I'm getting better. I have headphones in my Switch case now. I play Switch with sound. The next step is iOS. Like, but I don't feel like Grindstone needs sound.
No, that music is God, fire. Oh, God, I pissed off so weapons good. Again. I know.
How about I listen to other music?
I know it's a thing.
Bluegrass?
I actually think I'm in the minority of people that actually listen to the game soundtrack. Like, cussing you out about it, and damn it, a few people have been like, I never listen to the game soundtrack. And for me, it's like, you know, obviously if it's shit, like, yeah, by all means. But for the most part, especially with indie games, like, generally... So, like, often the games you talk about, the music has also been done by the same guy that made the entire
game.
Yeah.
Sure.
And for that, like, in instances like that, it's like you're missing out on, like, a main part of the vision of this game. But other times, it's like, I don't know, like, someone was paid to, like, you know, create a soundscape for this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
I was going to say that I find with, like, so I'm kind of in the middle where, like, I don't always listen to stuff when I play it. Like, occasionally I'll be, like, listening to a podcast or an album or something at the same time. But it depends on the game. So things like Hotline Miami or, like, a Zelda game or even, like, the most recent Doom. I know these aren't, like, indie games, but...
We're just going to bleep them all out.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to replace it with you saying bluegrass.
Like, I'll always make sure I'm listening to the soundtrack because the soundtrack is such an important part
of the game. I think that's why... The reason I'm like this is because of Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Because they just, you know, since the NES era, they've just always had really, really catchy melodies that are such a massive part of the experience. And I think there definitely is, like, you know, when you're playing a game on, like, you know, PS1 or...
Yeah.
I mean, actually, Dreamcast had some good music, but, like, I mean...
PS1 had Tony Hawk, which was also...
That's true. That's one of the best soundtracks. Yeah. But, I mean, like, when you just have that generic kind of, like, rock music that was on, like, PS1, PS2, third-party games, like, I guess that creates a culture of being like, why the fuck would you listen to this shit on loop?
Yeah. That's fair. Well, look, with both of these as well, the voice acting on Disco Elysium and on After Party is... awesome.
Well, yeah, when you're playing a story-based game, you know voice acting is good when you don't instinctively just, like, press A to get to the end of the sentence. You want to hear them say it.
Yeah. So both of those, heavy-duty recommend. After Party is out on PC and Mac through the Epic Store, which... whatever. Xbox and PlayStation 4. To preempt the question, it's got to come to Switch at some point.
Yeah, Oxenfree is on Switch.
Yeah.
So, like, now give me After Party.
It's insane if they don't put it on Switch.
When is the Supergiant game coming to Switch? The Heat, the Hell one? The
Supergiant Hell game? Pyre?
No, the one after that. The one they made. It's only on the Epic Store. It's in beta mode.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's in beta...
Probably when it's a full game.
Yeah, if it's in beta on the store. Yeah, cool. It'll take a while before it gets there.
Anyway, you know what game is on Switch?
I was going to say, I've decided my favorite HAL trope, everything being made out of dicks. That's a classic one from, like, real awful horror movies or, like, literature, or even some video games do it where they're just like...
Which game had all dicks?
There was one Jackson played where it's like, anytime you go to hell or, like, there's, like, hell kind of stuff, they just make, like heaps of phallic imagery. Even, like,
That's like... That's pure Geiger. Geiger did that.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Even, like, the, like, Silent Hill games and stuff like that, or, like, I don't have a specific example, but I know that it's done heaps of just, like, making things look like dicks or vaginas or whatever. It's just, like, as, like body horror, but, like, walls and shit, basically. It's fucked. Rules. Yeah, right. Big fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, as I was saying, you know what game is on Switch, everybody?
What game is on Switch?
Well, it's the game I'm talking about this week.
Oh, my God.
All the small games and indie video game podcast. I'm talking about Killer Queen Black.
Yes. Ooh.
And this is a game that I've been looking forward to for a long time, but it was a game that once I got it, I was like, oh, shit, this is not a good single player experience.
Oh, no.
Because Killer Queen has its roots in the arcades. It was an arcade cabinet, created an indie arcade game, which is fucking awesome. Like, you know, developers making an indie game, an arcade game in a cabinet, two cabinets actually. This is a 10 player experience.
Jesus.
And there's 90 of these cabinets across America.
Holy shit.
It started being made in 2013. Killer Queen is a game where you choose to be the queen. There's one queen on each team, so you play in teams of five.
Mm-hmm.
One queen, four workers. And there are three ways to win the game. You in the arcades, obviously, it's, you know, your team of five versus another team of five playing on the cabinet next to you. I have heard on so many podcasts, because, like, you know, the bulk of the gaming community is in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Every fucking bar is also an arcade in San Francisco.
That rules.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah, I know. So you know, so many developers are, you know, in Portland or San Francisco or whatever. So you have a lot of these, you know, what begins as homebrew arcade experiences, then becoming fully fledged, you know, indie arcades. I mean, if you want to, we've talked about Enter the Gungeon, the arcade game. I think once it comes out, just go to San Francisco. I'm sure there's going to be, that's where you'll find them the most plentiful. A lot of, like IGN and Kotaku, kind of funny games cast, like podcasts would often bring up like, oh man, we were at the bar the other day. I finally got to sit down and play Killer Queen Black. That is one of the best things I've ever played. And so this, like, years and years ago, hearing this going like, fuck, I want to play this weird arcade game. But like, one, I've got to get to America to play it. And also, I need to make sure I have nine other people with me. Like, I guess I'll just chalk this one up to a game I will never play.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, last year it was announced that they were going to be bringing it to the Switch.
Yes.
It was called Killer Queen Black, and they were making some amendments. They were taking it from a five-person to a team game to a four-person to a team game.
Mm-hmm.
So a few little changes, obviously.
Yeah, like,
to make it, yeah. So you still choose. You can be a queen. You can be a worker. There are three ways to win, and I will go through what they are now. This is going to test me as someone who forgets every detail of everything.
Yep.
But there are three ways you can get a victory. There's a military victory, an economic victory, and a snail victory. The military victory is
basically civilization.
Yeah.
Especially the snail part.
So when you're the queen, you can attack all the workers and the other queen.
Yep.
The queen has three lives. Once that queen has been killed three times, it's game over, and whichever team member dealt the blow, their team wins
for
that round. So that is a military win. You kill the queen three times.
Yep.
An economic win. There is a little grid near where you are, like where you begin each game. You're kind of hatched from this little area in the screen.
Yep.
Your team is, and there's the other team has the same thing on their screen. In the shared screen, like it's like a mirrored version of the screen, so in their section. And it's like a bunch of holes.
Yep.
And you can run down to a certain area and collect a berry.
Yep.
But only workers can do it. You can collect a berry. You can run and then go back to your hive and then put the berry in the hole. And once you've loaded all the holes with a berry, you've got an economic victory.
Sick.
Right.
Then there is a snail victory.
Yes.
In the middle of the stage is a snail. He is a big snail. And if you're a worker and you get in front of him, he eats you.
Oh.
But you can jump on his back and slowly over time, he will make his way towards, depending on which... If you are, you know, blue or orange team, make his way towards your goal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in like there are three ways you can win this game.
Yeah.
If you cross the finish line as a snail, if you kill the queen three times, or if you fill your pegs with berries.
Yes.
The economic way is slow. Only workers can do it, but it is also the way that you can completely sneak that happening without anyone realizing because
You don't need to interact with the other team.
Exactly.
To make it
happen. You just send your guys. You can even throw the berries into your area and then have someone just like quickly putting them up in the pegs for you. It's when you're the queen, the reptilic part of your brain is like, I'm just gonna go kill the other queen. But it's like Joust. Have you played the arcade game Joust? Which is like a jousting game where you play like a dude on a flying bird.
Yeah.
You flap.
And then you
bang into each other. There's only a certain point where you bang with your jousting stick
yep.
that okay. can actually damage mm-hmm. the enemy. So like this, if you and the queen, the other queen, are just going like head to head at each other,
yeah.
you're just going to bang swords constantly until yeah. one of you gets the upper hand and just, you know, nudges yeah. the queen in the wrong direction. The easiest way is to kill the queen from behind, or you can also stab down to kill them. If you're a worker, you can hold on to your berry, and there's three platforms, and once a queen has marked it from grey neutral to your colour, so that if a queen goes on the platform, it goes your yep. colour, you can then take a berry, offer it as a sacrifice, and then you'll get either a weapon upgrade, making you able to fly and use a sword like the queen, meaning you can go after the queen as well.
Yep.
Or even a gun, which you can shoot other workers.
Finally, more guns in games.
Or a shield that makes you less vulnerable to attacks from the queen.
Yep.
Because the queen can just mow through as many workers as they want.
Yep.
There are a lot of risk involved in trying to do a military victory.
Yeah.
Often I found that was what I was the best at. The kind of best way to play is, imagine if you were in the same room as your team, you would be able to, and there is voice chat. I just wasn't able to use it. I play with my friend Tim. He and I,
shout out to Tim.
Shout out to Tim.
Big shout.
He just won a triathlon
in
Hawaii.
Holy damn. Shit!
For his age group and came sixth overall.
Fuck wow!
Crazy. But you know what? No one
was it a snail victory?
Yeah, it was a snail victory. Right. That's right. Yeah.
Huge shouts to Tim and his snail victory in Hawaii.
Say, nowhere near as victorious as us on Killer Queen Black yesterday.
Yeah,
we lost mostly. but yeah, like what? Like this as a party game, because you can do local. We played just the two of us joining a bunch a team of other players playing online.
Okay.
I think you can play with bots as well, but I'm sure that would be also fine.
Yeah.
There was very little lag playing online. I have just moved to a house with much better internet than my other place though. But
still with like Switch Online, I think.
Yeah. No. Totally. Yeah. It was really, and you know, I was playing with six other players.
Oh wow.
So you know, obviously the two extras on our team, and then against another team of four. But if you were able to be in the same room, you could do a local local wireless, which means that right. you can set up with another Switch.
Yep.
So we could be in two separate rooms, playing on two TVs, like, you know,
or
in the same room yelling at each other, trying to screaming. And like we were basically like, we have to get a snail victory.
Yeah.
So I would be queen, and he was a worker, and I would just try and protect him while he was riding
right,
the snail,
okay.
and hoping that the other two workers would like either level up their weapons, because once you level up your weapons, you can't get on the snail. You have to be the weakest form of worker to ride the snail.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You must be this high. Must not be this high to ride the
yeah.
snail.
Yeah.
Man, it was so fucking fun. The visuals are like just that timeless pixel art. Like it looks like a throwback game, but it's, you know, it knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. The background imagery. I hope there's like weird lore for like why these characters exist and why they're fighting.
Okay.
Because like some of like, there's like just big statues and stuff in the background.
Smell that's some sick. Fanfic.
I would read some Killer Queen Black fanfic.
Oh, I want you to write.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I will. All
sit
right.
down.
Got nothing better to
get
do.
Get it going. that's the most bullshit statement ever.
The soundtrack's really fun too, but like I was like, shit, man, I want to get good at this game, and I want to get like, we always talk about it just because like we're adults now with responsibilities, but when John, just before John got married,
yep.
we had a Bucks weekend, and John, very similar to me, my priority for my Bucks weekend was I want to have all my best friends and I want to get fucked the fuck up.
Yep. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And at some point play video games.
Yes.
John was like, I want to play video games and at some point get fucked up. I just like remember that as like one of the greatest weekends ever, because like it was just you and me and our friends just playing like co-op or multiplayer versus games locally.
Yeah.
Just for the entire 48-hour period.
Holy fuck.
It was great.
That rules.
It was so good. Nidhogg 2, the MVP of that weekend.
Oh, 100%.
But I actually reckon if anything was going to take the crown of Nidhogg 2...
Holy shit.
Killer Queen Black.
I think the fact that... I mean, it's Nidhogg 2 is 1v1, and I think having a game that would have had... Eight of us going at it, that would have been... Great.
Look, man, if you get married again, I'll buy the
arcade right cabinets. Now for Killer Queen right. Black.
I'll get the cabinets. We'll get the original
wedding present.
I'll bring them down here.
Let's just go to San Francisco.
Okay, all right. That sounds good too. With eight other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you're coming, dude.
Yeah, I'm in.
But yeah, like, get this game. It was...
Do you think
made by two dudes? And they, I was published by Bumble Bear Games.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's so like I mean, Killer Queen Black has been it's officially inspired by Killer Queen. So for all I know, right. I'm not even getting close to the real experience. Yeah, okay. But, it's on Windows and Switch now, and it'll be later released for Xbox One. So it'll probably come into Game Pass soon.
Yeah.
It's I guess it's like a real time strategy arcade game.
Yeah.
I loved it so much, and like to the fact that you have like this choice, like every no two games will be remotely the same, because as soon as the other team realizes, oh, they're just going to try and get a snail victory every time.
Yeah.
You can't get the same two victories in a row.
Yeah.
So. Like, you just have to change up the way you play constantly. And,
yeah.
I'm curious about the esports potential of this.
Yeah, I imagine it already exists on a small level. But, like, yeah, I hope that there's a community for this now. It absolutely justifies, even if I do utilize the other benefits of Nintendo Switch Online. But this is the game. This is, like, the first game where I'm like, oh, my God. Playing this online rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you are someone who is without responsibility and constantly in that beautiful scenario that I remember having so much time of when I was younger, where you are in a house with people that also want to play video games with you constantly, like, no question, get Killer Queen Black. It is a good fucking time. And, like, there's a tutorial section. You have to do it. It's a little bit slow. Just do it just so you can learn. There's so many different mechanics going on in this game.
Yeah.
The whole time you're explaining the rules, for some reason my brain was like, this sounds like Quidditch.
Yeah, I mean, maybe inspired by that.
Killer Quidditch Black.
There should be more sports where there are multiple ways you can score a goal.
Yeah, definitely.
Or win the game.
Imagine if in basketball, that would be you can get it in the net. Or like, I don't know what else.
You can get the net in the ball.
Or you can like chug Gatorade or something like that.
Yeah, totally. You can ride the snail.
There's a snail on the side of the court.
All sports should have snails in it.
Just LeBron sitting on a snail as it slowly makes its way across the court. Amazing. If that was the case, ball would definitely be life.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. So that's Killer Queen Black. Absolute massive recommendation from me. I haven't played much of it on my own yet, but it's definitely a game that you want to play with as many people as possible.
Three games with glowing recommendations so far.
Now, the only way is up, I assume.
Now, yeah. Completely fuck this podcast up.
Hey, maybe this isn't a fuck up. Maybe the game that
Before he gets into it, why do you hate Minecraft so much, Sean? Because I was when you were like, I could talk about Minecraft, I'm like, oh, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
For me, it's entirely personal.
Are you an old
man? I like structure around my games. Like, a game where it's just like, I fling you into the world and you can do whatever you want.
You know that there's a final boss now, so there's a story.
I know that over time they've added stuff. But just like the whole...
You know you can make titties in this game, right?
Can you? Whoa, oh my god! I saw
a YouTube tutorial, bro.
Back up.
Yeah, yeah. I assume this is just going to be 50 minutes on how to make titties in Minecraft. Yeah.
All right. So first, you're going to need to head to Google, find out what titties look like. Yeah.
I don't know. It just I think we've discussed on this podcast before.
I'm going to Google Minecraft Steve with titties.
I think we've discussed because it's the same with Terraria. I don't want to play Terraria because I'm not interested in building a world myself. I want to inhabit a world that someone else has built and go through a kind of story.
Sorry, Google, not Minecraft skins. Minecraft Steve with a tie.
No. We want not formal attire. We want birthday suit attire with titties.
It's also the fact that the creator of Minecraft is so incredibly problematic.
Oh yeah,
Microsoft had to take his name off the game.
Notch sucks.
Oh boy, does he suck so
hell
damn.
Yes!
Just for context, Levins is Google image searching.
I told them what I was doing.
But that you need to describe that picture.
So it's just a picture of Minecraft Steve. Tilted kind of on an angle, and then he just has
two squares
coming out of his chest.
Auga, auga.
Oh, that's so great.
That's sick.
I'm gonna use my profile photo.
Look, the graphics as well. I don't
like the Minecraft graphics.
Yeah, there's ways to do voxel stuff good.
Yeah.
And I know that now, like, a lot of my prejudice is from like very early Minecraft. Yeah. I know they now have like added so many mods and stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like shaders and all this kind of like texture packs and whatnot. But yeah, it's like TikTok.
It's up to the community to add titties.
Yeah.
And someone has done exactly that on the Minecraft forum. The caption underneath this image is, "This is the breast." Just one breast. This is the breast. Like a uniboob.
That rules.
Anyway, and fuck you, Levins. You've cursed out Minecraft as many times
have
as I have.
I don't think so.
You have.
No, I mean, it's just, I put it in that Fortnite basket. It's a game that doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that it is so widely beloved by kids that like schools have had to like integrate it into like their...
Yeah.
Into their like learning systems now.
Minecraft is the only video game that kind of falls into like the Fortnite, the Overwatch, but even like the Dota kind of thing where to get into the game, you need to already know so much.
Yeah.
It's the only one.
And you have to just give up every other. I mean, Minecraft's probably the most casual of those games.
Yeah.
You can play that can be your side piece, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You don't need to solely play. Like, I feel like to be good at Fortnite, to be good at Dota especially.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, you give up, not just give up any other game. You have to give up so many other parts of social living.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Minecraft is like a strangely, and Fortnite too, I guess, with the voice chat, but it is a strangely social game.
So
but even going back to what you said, integrating to school, like Microsoft have worked to get it into schools because it is, the base game is just the creativity that it affords is like, Do whatever you want kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it is,
they walk in there with one slide and one slide only. Yeah. Minecraft Steve with breast.
That's sex and schools ed ticked like, off.
Well, yeah, the sex ed is now covered in Minecraft. Yeah.
Steve ed.
Steve ed.
Anyway,
so
hit us.
A brief introduction. So I started playing Minecraft like ages and ages ago when I was in uni, and it was kind of like a new-ish thing.
When it was an actual indie game.
When it was an actual indie game. Yeah. So like 2000 and probably would have been like 2011, 2012 maybe.
How many thumbs?
Minecraft, see, it's hard because the original experience when I was playing with just friends and like Minecraft was new and exciting and we didn't know what we were doing and it was just like wasting time in Minecraft was like fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a 4.5 thumb experience.
Okay, how many breast?
How many breast? Well... I guess playing Minecraft stopped me from seeing breast for a while, yeah. So...
Zero breast. Hella thumb.
Then I had a girlfriend who was also super into Minecraft, so then maybe it was two breasts. It was all happening. Yeah, so when I first played it, it was, like, relatively new, and I found it, like, exciting, because I'd never played anything like that before, and the fact that I had to, like, read about pretty much how to play the fucking game before it started, and, like... Because, yeah, if you haven't played Minecraft before, literally the way it starts is... You're just in a world and you have nothing and you've just got to survive for a bit through mining. The title isn't particularly clever.
And crafting. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I played it a bunch when I was in uni. Then it kind of just like fell off. I started a server with Jackson from Plumbing the Death Star, but in like 5 or 6 years ago. And we used to play together and just like have a nice time.
That is cute.
Yeah, it was good. There was a couple of his friends as well. It was all happening. Anyway, so we kind of fell out of that and I hadn't played it for like 5 or 6 years. And then we thought it would be very funny on the Sans Pets Radio Twitch account to start streaming Minecraft because there's been a massive resurgence of it recently.
Yeah, you know why.
Breast.
No. No, PewDiePie started screaming.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, PewDiePie. Yeah. Yeah. I can remember if it was PewDiePie or Ninja.
Yeah, it was PewDiePie. Ninja's Fortnite only.
Yeah.
And now on Mixer.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I know.
Wild.
So, yeah, we were like, hey, what if we just start playing Minecraft again just to see what happens? And instantly, rather than having a nice time, we're playing in the same room this time and we are just screaming at each other constantly. So,
but about what?
Okay, so basically what happened straight away is we were like, all right, cool. Let's just like, because we were streaming this. We were like, sure. We need to have like an end goal kind of thing. And I was like, cool, let's just go make a diamond helmet.
Right.
Which is...
Like, as in like, is that a goal that one day you'll make it like in a few months? Or is that something you
No, it's something you could have, if you were good at the game and knew what you were doing, you could probably knock that out in an hour to an hour and a half.
So why is it exciting to see you make a hat? I don't understand.
So basically, there's a lot of, so when you start Minecraft, like mining and stuff like that, there is like hidden paths within the world. Like diamonds, for instance, are quite low in the game. So you're encountering like enemies, lava, things that can kill you very easily.
Sand
actually can kill you in Minecraft.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like hazards, and the whole thing with Minecraft is diamonds are like one of the things that get you into the last part of the game, which is the part with the final boss. So like
the Ender Dragon?
Yeah, that's it. Hey, oh, you know Minecraft.
Secret Minecraft at it.
You just refuse to talk about it on all the small games in case it like yeah. You get withdrawals.
Yeah.
So basically, like, we were just like, all right, the kind of the equivalent of if you're watching someone play Breath of the Wild and they were like, sweet, I just got off the floating island in the sky, I'm going to go fight Ganon straight away.
Sure.
You're like, oh, okay, cool, that's dumb. You're going to die a bunch and you're not equipped for the situation. So anyway, we were racing to do that. So
you're both playing, like,
We're playing in the same server, but both trying to do the same thing, but playing together. And instantly, I just made, like, I dug a hole in the ground. I was like, sick, that's my house. And Jackson just kept being like, your house is ugly. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get... And then I kept looking over at his screen, and he was making a house. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then at one point, I cracked the shits that he had something that he just found, like, by accident. So I just went down and killed him. Then I took his stuff. And then I fell. I drowned. So then he just came and got all of my stuff and all of his stuff back. And then just went back to building his fucking house. And I was like, you piece of shit. I was like so close to the goal. Anyway, we're also raising money. It was for the Twitch stream. Because usually people, when they like accept donations, it goes towards like, I don't know, building a studio or whatever. But we've decided that we want to get like the gamer aesthetic. So thanks to our Twitch chat, we now own the worst gaming chair I've ever seen.
Oh boy.
It's like gold, very uncomfortable to sit in.
You know my thoughts on gamer chairs.
Yeah, I do.
Fill your house with them.
They're foul. Yeah.
They're not comfortable. Well, this one especially is not a comfortable chair.
The lowest rung of chair is gamer chair, and then also, because I've been buying couches and shit lately, you can get home cinema chairs that are like these big couches with enormous arms and big gross panels in them, so you can like recline and put like aesthetically look so gross, and then just enormous cup holders in your couch.
Oh no, I wish this gaming chair had a cup holder. That would make
that's the F rank of chairs.
I just love how gaming chairs are designed to look so dynamic and sporty.
Yeah.
The whole idea is for you to just sit there and...
Yeah.
Like, they are good for your posture, right? I understand that. That's the point of them?
That's why they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, the one I was sitting in, I'm also like probably too tall for it because it was like a relatively cheap one.
Right.
So it's not comfortable.
You got to spend. You got to spend when it comes to gamer chairs.
Yeah, this is like $100 and yeah, it looks it. It looks like it could also, it's got a footrest that is like just attached to like two metal poles that it slides across. And it looks like it could just snap if you just like rested your feet on it.
You raised enough funds for a $100 gaming chair?
Yes. Playing two of Minecraft. Them? No, we just got the one. Jackson, I'm sitting in that. Jackson's got an exercise ball.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so...
Did he raise for that too?
Yeah, so what happened was when we were raising for the...
Is it gold at least?
We haven't actually bought that one for the next stream, which will probably be the day that this episode goes out. Yeah.
It's going up in, I don't know when. Oh, okay, anyways, sick. From now.
Well, at some point, if you check out on Twitch, Jackson will be sitting on a exercise
What is the Sandspence Twitch?
It's just Sandspence Radio. Like, twitch.tv/Sandspence Radio. We stream a lot of games, but yeah, Minecraft's the only indie one at the moment. Hunter and Stardew Valley.
It's definitely not an indie game anymore, right?
Oh, 100% not. Yeah. Microsoft paid like $1 billion to buy.
They've
got a huge
team. They bought the creator out because he sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they bought the creator out and then the creator started to suck.
Right, okay, sure. Yeah.
It was faint, there was a tweet where he was like, oh, I'm so miserable. And everyone was like, you have $1 billion. Why are you miserable? And he's like,
money doesn't buy happiness, John.
Well, but it's just like, it was like, go make another game. And he's like, the first game I made was Minecraft. How am I supposed to top that? It was like, don't fucking bother topping it. Just make another
game. Just make Minecraft 2 notch. Yeah. It's not that fucking hard. Just imagine like Minecraft, better graphics, done.
Titty edition.
Titty edition.
Every block in Minecraft 2 is a misogynist.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So you enjoying your time with Minecraft?
I've realized that my experience with Minecraft is like setting dumb goals like the ones we've been doing. Like there was also one that was like, we had an hour to, previous challenge was an hour to build a house, and then we just had Twitch chat vote on which one was the best. And mine was just a hole in the ground that I tried to make look nice. So Jackson knows how to build houses, so I lost that one. So yeah, like setting like stupid goals within your friend group is like fun. And even if we weren't doing it on Twitch, we were just playing. If we had the same dynamic that we're going for now, which is like a competition, it is fun. But I think that if I was playing it in a situation where I was like, yeah, I can't wait to create like a Minecraft world with like a nice house and like maybe a village and like a waterfall, I would put it down within about 15 minutes. Like, what am I doing with myself?
Do any of those games appeal to you? Like the build? I mean, you both put many hours into Stardew Valley. Is that remotely similar?
I think Stardew Valley has a structure outside of what you want to do.
And is that what appealed to you? Or were you also trying to make your farm better?
Like, it was knowing like the community center needs all various things. It was knowing like, okay, I've done this now I need to grow a fucking platinum star turnip or something. Like, having something push me on that I didn't set myself kind of, you know, and even like the, like, oh, I need to develop relationships with everyone around town and choose who I'm going to marry and all that kind of stuff.
So the two people that are super into Stardew Valley at Sans Pants that, I mean, I was really invested in it for about 2 weeks and then I fell right off. I think I probably played a different game and was like, this is video games. Like, we're back. So Cass and Zamet. This will probably hurt you because Zamet's run, he's
doing the prick playthrough.
Yeah,
isn't
he's doing the prick playthrough because there's a community center which the kind of story helps you restore, or you can go to like a huge marketing giant, and if you buy a thing from them, they turn the community center into a warehouse, and he just did that straight away.
Yeah.
Cass, on the other hand, doesn't talk to people in the game. She's just focused on her farm.
Really?
Yeah, no socialing.
So they're both playing in a way that offends me.
Yeah.
On a base level. Okay, yeah. Cool. That's good to know.
Yeah. So,
but are they playing with music? Damn it, almost definitely not.
Cass, I'm not actually sure. Probably.
Find out for me.
I feel like bluegrass would be appropriate.
Oh, no. Zamet wouldn't be listening to anything else. He'd probably just be like, sound off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm seeing my previous behaviors mirrored now and realizing how bad I am.
Yeah, if you ever want to make changes about yourself, just have someone compare you to Zamet. So that is it for this episode of All the Small Games. An extra long one. We haven't done one this long in a while.
Yeah.
Thanks so much to Joel for coming through and...
Yeah, anytime. I promise next time if I'm on the show.
No, you've got a rival games podcast. You can't be double dipping.
A rival games
podcast. Next time you come up or we come down, maybe we should try and all play the same game.
Has anyone talked about Control on...
No,
get me on Thumbcramp so I can talk about Control?
Of course.
They're all here. You should do one this weekend.
Yeah,
we're all here.
Yeah, let's try to work it out.
I just
need to talk about this game.
It's
not a small game.
I'm so sorry, John. I own it, but I haven't played it because I've been playing Astral Chain, which took up it's like a long game. Sure. So while I'm playing games like that, I don't like to also have like another long game happening at the same time. So recently I've been playing a lot of indie games and just like chipping away at Astral Chain. And once I finish Astral Chain, I'll start playing Control. But then, like, Luigi's Mansion just came out.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
it's
long
a hard
story
deal.
Short, I've fucked myself.
When you have the podcast, it's like, oh, I need to, for my audience's sake, obviously, I need to be on top of all the new shit. So I have so many unfinished games. I have pretty much every game that I've talked about on All the Small Games in the last, like, six episodes, I haven't finished.
Oh,
so you're going to be away for 3 weeks. I'm going to try and finish all those first and foremost.
Sure.
And then, like... the day before you come back, I'll be like, oh, I better play a new game.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it was this, like I said, this week, just because we recorded last Friday, and normally we have about a 2 week, like, we record a couple of episodes at once, gives us a fortnight to play some new games. Going into this week and going like, oh shit, we're recording on Friday, I need to like have played some more stuff.
Mm.
It was just, setting alarms for 6:30 and waking up and being like, oh, turning on my Xbox.
Oh, that's so funny.
Jesus
Christ. Wife's getting ready for work because I'm like, hi.
Yeah, it's brutal for me at the moment. It's like I'm doing corporate gigs for Christmas, end of year parties. It's Halloween at the moment, so Halloween parties every night. I've got the kids that I've got to get to school in the morning straight away, and then I've also got all my writing deadlines. I've written 3 separate edits of the same book in the last 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ!
Which is just like it is, And so like I'm just the idea of video games. I have like a bunch of tours that I'm going, a bunch of like flights I've got to get for different tours in the next month, and I'm so excited to just spend all of them playing video games and reading manga. It's all going to be exciting as fuck.
Hell yeah.
was it refreshing doing an entire podcast without anyone asking you if a game was anime?
Yeah, it was nice. But again, with that Minecraft Steve thing, it got pretty close to thumb cramps. Yeah, no one said I am Turok and no one asked me if something was an anime. It was nice.
I don't know if he'll ever... He probably won't. Jackson, your co-host on Thumb Cramps and Plumbing, has challenged me to play Turok 2, which is a...
Seeds of Evil.
Nintendo 64 game that was ported to Switch this year and is Jackson's game of 2019.
It's blown him away.
Because I keep recommending games to you guys, and then I feel like you always play them and you're like, this is great, but yeah. Jackson plays them and he's like, I hate this.
Which is weird, because like something like Blasphemous, which Jackson just couldn't get into.
And the more I think about that game, I still think like that is definitely top three of the year for me.
Yeah, and like Jackson like adores Celeste. One of his favorite games of all time is The Long Dark. He also got super into like Dark Souls. So like those frustrating, like extreme, like violent video games kind of thing. Like super up his alley to the point where I don't understand.
Well, that game is so frustrating, but you just get better and you upgrade, and like that's why I love those kind of games so much, because your skills get better and your character gets better.
He just reviewed an indie game that feels like it was just like a big ripoff of Blasphemous, and he adored it. So I really don't know what's going on.
That was a tough listen.
What was the game?
Dark Deception? I think that's what it's called.
Dark Descent? I've heard of that, I think.
Hmm.
We'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know.
But if you want to know, Thumb Cramps is available on the Sans Pants Radio Network, just like ours is. And you can also hear Joel on Plumbing the Death Star every week as well.
Yeah, that's it. I was also, if you go back, I was on HeyFam, your other podcast. Look, and yeah, Plumbing the Death Star, Thumb Cramps, and if you like AFL, I'm also on an AFL podcast.
How frequent is that one? How Good's Footy?
How Good's Footy is weekly.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so it's easy during the season, and then once the season ends, it becomes increasingly harder.
What the fuck do you talk about it in summer?
What other words do you think AFL could stand for?
Do you do like highlights?
So we've kind of...
I'm admitting, I will never listen to this.
No, so that's totally fair enough. Yeah, I actually have mentioned this before, but so Will Anderson has a football podcast, and that stops like a sensible person, but we're not cowards, so we just keep going through. So basically, once we get to the end of the season, and then like all the trade stuff happens, and then there's like, like an 8-week window where there's just nothing. It's just like a lot of like either like dumb speculation episodes. We're holding like, so an AFL player of recent got delisted that we all loved. So we're just going to hold like basically like a funeral episode for him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, just, cool. So just dumb shit.
Maybe the dumbest shit.
Maybe I will listen.
Well, look, keep an eye out for Levins's weekly Killer Queen Black podcast, How Good Snails.
Snail victory.
The snail mail. That's me.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Nice. So that is it for the episode. If you want to find All the Small Games online, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/allthesmallgames, or on Twitter at All the Small Game. John is on there as 16 Tacos. I'm at LevDog, LevDawg. As mentioned, I got another podcast called Hey Fam, which comes out every week. Joel was on it recently. Serious Issues is my comic book podcast, if you like reading those things. If you want to get in touch with this show, you can send us an email. We're going to do a big email dump. There's a few of them we've got to get through. On a future episode. So your email could be part of that dump.
Yeah.
Send us an email, allthesmallgames@gmail.com. We are rapidly approaching the end of the year.
Yeah.
There's going to be some fun episodes highlighting our favorite
end of the
year,
also end of the decade, which means there's two episodes there.
What best was the indie games of the decade?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
and you'll
be...
also get like a lot of the classics. So like Hotline Miami, Limbo, I think came. Yeah, they all would have come out this decade.
We talked about
Minecraft
both of those recently.
From when it was an indie game.
Yeah, Minecraft was an indie game this decade.
I think Cave Story predates the last decade.
Yeah.
That's like whenever I think of a classic indie, I'm like, I can talk about Cave Story. Oh, damn it.
That's going to take a whole bunch of research.
To the moon.
But I am really looking forward to the 2019 best of.
Yeah.
Been some super strong contenders.
It's been a killer year. It's been definitely an indie games, for me at least. I've preferred the... indie games that got me through the year, triple A games were letting me down left, right, and center.
Really? I just think it was a big year for gaming.
It was a big year, but I mean, like, I haven't got an obvious, clear winner of my favorite game of the year. It's like just a handful of indies that I've loved.
Yeah, sick. I won't be on the best of 2019 episode unless something changes, but I'd just like to say Ape Out is absolutely my favorite.
Yeah, see, Ape Out's one of my favorites.
Ape Out came out at the beginning of the year. I played it and I was like, oh shit, GOTY right here. Nailed it in February or something. And then as the months have gone on, Ape Out's just slipped down the rankings bit by bit, essentially. And it's not because, like, oh, it's a shitty game. It's just because, like, so many other games, like Outer Wilds and all these other games that I'm like, oh, this is brain-fryingly good. Like, so I'm really looking forward to actually sitting down and thinking about what am I... Because we'll do same as last year, right? Top 10 format.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe split over two episodes. Like
Cool. Yeah, Ape Out, I'm going record. Absolutely is my game of the year. It's indie game of the year.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely be out in our top 10 for sure.
100%.
Fucking rules so much.
Looking forward to doing that. Because we've played so fucking many games.
Yeah.
It's getting insane. I mean, obviously, like, Apple Arcade has really, like, just thrown a massive spanner in the works, too.
Apple Arcade, game of the year. Totally.
Yeah, okay, the whole thing. Yeah, cool. Anyway, we better wrap it up. Yeah. We could do another hour. Maybe we will.
Strapping, guys.
See you next time. Enjoy yourselves. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You can have the final word, Joel.
Hey, guys, it's been great to be here. And I can say fuck on this podcast. And maybe that was the biggest blessing of all. Fuck yeah.
I think you should just take that rule away from Thumbcrass. Should we turn the mic off and talk about this? Let's leave this in here.
If
we whisper.
No. Hey, listeners. Maybe we should start saying fuck on Thumbcrams.
I think maybe you should call it fuck cramps.
Maybe you should call it fuck cramps.
Turn it to...
He's a little...
Fucks and Bailey.
I'm so sorry. So listeners, just letting you know, I was really pushing for Thumbcrams to be called Games We've Fucked, but apparently that's not okay.
That is fucking great.
I don't know why... Games We've Fucked. I don't know why in the dying moments of this podcast we've turned into an ASMR thing, but...
Yeah. Fuck yeah. This is bonus content for the people who stuck around after we signed off this podcast 10 minutes ago.
Okay, bye everyone. Enjoy yourselves.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.